Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. We'll read two verses together. We'll read verse 33, and then we'll read yet one other verse a little later. We'll read these in unison this evening. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And let's read verse 40 together also. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 40. Ready? Let all things be done decently and in order. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done here. Lord, this morning it was quite obvious that your presence was here. There were people at this altar being saved, and there was folks getting right with you. There were folks that were experiencing one of those greatest days in their lives. Now, Father, please be with us. There's a lot on the horizon. Our preacher's doing his best to get us ready. He has spent time with you to be ready. Father, please, may we be filled with your power as we listen to a man of God that's filled with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you very much. Let me say something right before I actually get into the sermon. If you're a guest here this evening, please allow me this evening to have a little family chat with my church. We have friends that come from across the country, and sometimes they come just to watch me cut loose in the pulpit and go crazy. Well, it won't be like you're at the zoo this evening watching a wild animal. You'll have to, I'm going to talk to our people about something that I feel is very necessary. If you are a guest, let me tell you that our church has been growing in leaps and bounds, numerically, of course, but spiritually. And the revival that people are talking about that is taking place here, it's true. It's really happening, and God is doing a wonderful thing. I was told this by a man that I respect very highly. He said, Brother Owens, I believe that you have the fastest growing, independent, fundamental Baptist church in the United States of America today. And what has happened in our church in the last 2 years is just remarkable. God has been doing a wonderful thing. Now, as you hear me this evening, if you are a guest, what I'm about to do is one of the reasons why I think God's hand is upon our church. I don't think I do everything like everybody else. I don't think I want to do everything like everybody else. I've been around long enough. I travel. I go to a lot of churches. And every once in a while, I sense something that I think is special, and maybe the way of handling something that is unique. And because of that, I think God's hand is uniquely on our church. This morning, I announced the title of my sermon as this, Decently and in Order. We read two passages of Scripture. Let me read them to you again. You don't have to turn to it. If you have a King James Bible there, I'll read it to you just as God intended it to be read. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 33, the Bible says this, For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Then, in verse number 40 of the same chapter, it says, Let all things be done decently and in order. And of course, that is the place from which I find my title, Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, let me preface the teaching of the night with just a brief application of these verses, if I could. God does not want us confused. God is not for confusion. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. God is the author of peace and of a sound mind. And so God doesn't want me confused. God doesn't want you confused. But God is not the author of confusion. That's what the Bible tells us there in 1 Corinthians 14:33. Then, God wants the church organized. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, he said he wanted all things done decently and in order. I took that word order apart. I studied its origin a bit. And it means God wants everything done decently and well arranged. It means that he wants the timing just right. It means that there should be a succession, or there should be a planned order of events for success in the church. Listen to this statement. No church ever rises above the staff's ability to receive, maintain, and organize the blessings that God bestows on them for their obedience to His Word. Let me say it again. No church ever rises above the staff's ability to receive, maintain, and organize the blessings God bestows on them for their obedience to His Word. Now, folks, if we will obey God, He'll bless us. But as He blesses us, we've got to learn how to maintain the blessings. We've got to learn how to receive the blessings. Then we've got to learn to organize things so that the blessings can go on and multiply so God can do more. I've watched people draw a crowd. We've also watched the same people be unable to keep the crowd. Well, there's more to it than just drawing a crowd. A dead skunk can draw flies. And I don't want to just draw a crowd. Now listen, I, as a preacher, am commanded by God in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, that's what I'm to do. I'm to preach the word. I'm to be instant. I'm to be at the drop of the hat, ready to preach the Word of God. I'm to do it in season and out of season, that meaning when it's popular and when it's not popular. I am to reprove. I am to rebuke. And then we come to the word exhort. I am to exhort with all longsuffering and then and doctrine. The word exhort there is a Greek root word. It comes from a Greek root word, kello. It means to incite by words, to or urge, or to help put things in order. Now there's that word order again. All things, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, all things are to be done decently and in order. I am to exhort, which means to put things in order. God is not the author of confusion. And when it says all things there in 1 Corinthians 14:40, well, you know, one of the ways to get your life together is get your life in order. Part of the responsibility of the church is to help you to get your life in order. If you're missing Wednesday night, I promise you, you're missing a blessing. I am helping our people to get their finances in order. In order. There is an order for success. Success does not just happen upon us. And if it did, it will not be lasting success unless it is in order. It's to be done decently and in order. Our music program is to be done decently and in order. Not just the organization of it, but you're part of it, decently and in order. Our bus ministry is to be done decently and in order. And not just Brother Bajan's part of it, but what part do you play? Is the part that you play in our bus ministry, is it decently and in order being done for the Lord? And our Sunday school ministry is to be done decently and in order. Now, not just my part as a Sunday school superintendent, but your part. Is your part decently and in order? Our missions program is to be done decently and in order. Our church finances is to be kept decent and in order. And may I say to you, it is indeed decent and in order. Our Christian school, it is to be done decently and in order. If a Christian school is not run decently and in order, there are injustices. There are misunderstandings. But I'm not just talking about Brother Bush as our assistant pastor administrator. Your part. You're part of the Christian school. Whether it's in the lunchroom or at recess or in the classroom or on the ball field, everything is to be done decently and in order. Our church activities. You'll find out. I spend time with our men, and I've told them our activities are not to be a free-for-all, hoping that it turns out right. It's to be done decently and in order. It is to be organized. It is to be put in order. It is to be properly arranged. It is to have timing and a purpose decently and in order. our attendance building campaigns here. They will be successful because they are done decently and in order. A revival should be done decently and in order. Hey, your Bible reading. I think I taught for 30 plus weeks on the subject of the Word of God. The best way to be successful at reading your Bible is that it has a timing, that it is done decently and in order. You have to have a plan. You have to have a schedule, a place to go, a way that you're going to read, an amount of time you're going to spend. You may succeed having a let's just see what happens attitude about your Bible reading. I'll tell you a way for sure to succeed. Make sure your Bible reading is done decently and in order. Your prayer life. If you want to have a successful prayer life, it ought to be done decently and in order. You have to plan it. Probably going to need a list of some sort, and I'm not talking for the purpose of vain repetition, but a list of guidance to make sure that you pray properly. A time, a place. Your marriage. You know that if your marriage will function under the guise of being done decently and in order, you'll have a happier marriage. You need to schedule a date on a regular basis. You need time together. You need to be decent with one another and keep things in order. Man, you need to keep up your duties around the house. Ladies, you need to keep up your duties around the house decently and in order. Your family's the same way. You need time with your kids, the little ones, the teenagers. Dad needs time. Mom needs time. Everybody needs to be decent and keep things in order in their family. And if you will be decent and in order, you'll have a better family. Your life. I accomplish a lot with my life, and I want to. I don't want to waste one moment. I want to do something with my life. I want my life to count. You say, Brother Owens, how in the world do you get everything done that you do? I've tried to arrange my life. I've scheduled my life. My life is to be lived decently and in order, and so is yours. You're not to wake up in the morning and have a let's just see what happens today kind of an attitude. You ought to get up and have a plan and have a purpose, a plan to accomplish something with your life every day of every week, of every month, of every year for the rest of your life. And one day when you're old and gray-haired, you'll look back and say, I accomplished something with my life. Why? It was done decently and in order. Now, I come to you on behalf of our East Coast Ladies Conference. You see, we have a conference coming up this Friday and Saturday, and it needs to be done decently and in order. Let me give you just a little history, if I can, here. When I became the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, it was June 1 of 2002. Oh, those were busy days for us. We'd just moved into town and Mrs. Owens was learning all the different paths to find Walmart. And we were having a good time. We were glad to be in town, but we were busy. We were just taking over the church, trying to get to know folks and all the details and the transition. Well, it was busy. It was hustle, bustle time. And someone said to us right around the beginning of August, well, what are we going to do for our ladies' conference? And we said, ladies' conference? What ladies' conference? Oh, we have a ladies' conference here. My next question was, when? They said, next month. I said, whoa. Next month. I mean, like not next year next month, but next month. Yeah, next month. Well, I did not want to change that. It's something that had been occurring, and they've been having a conference here. And I said, okay, well, if we're going to keep it going, I've always had this attitude. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And so we decided we've got to make something happen. And we had a conference. Now, because we only had about 40 days to get ready for it, we were in a transition. I'm sure we didn't set any world records on our very first one. We had had a conference for our ladies called Happiness is the Lord. You remember it, ladies? There were big smiley faces everywhere, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time. Then, last year, we got some momentum up. It's pretty difficult for me to plan with only a few weeks if something's going to be done properly, but we got some momentum up for the second one, and again, we decided, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. If it's not worth doing right, it's not worth doing at all. You're either first class or you don't have any class, and I think things ought to be done right for God. And so we made it the East Coast Ladies Conference. We picked a theme that was dear to all ladies' hearts. We called it Chocolate from Heaven. There is a love relationship between ladies and chocolate. And boy, they were on a honeymoon for a couple of days, and we had a wonderful, wonderful conference. We invited some churches to come, and wow, were we ever surprised. If you were here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We did not know how many people would come, but we said to some other churches, if you'd like to attend, you may. And we ended up with 750 ladies from 11 different states, 66 different churches, and we were shocked. We could not believe what we had gotten ourselves into. Now, it was my privilege to know a lady by the name of Mrs. Marlene Evans. Mrs. Evans was the editor of a Christian ladies magazine or newspaper called Christian Womanhood. And then she also hosted what I think probably the most successful ladies conference in the United States of America. It is called the Christian Womanhood Spectacular. Now, Mrs. Evans had struggled with cancer. As a younger lady, she was diagnosed with cancer, and I think 20-some years right at that, maybe give or take a few years. But she had cancer. God would heal her and help to keep her going, but she struggled two or three different times with treatments, etc. And I had the privilege of getting to know her. To be honest, this gal by the name of Marlene Evans and I would say we were buddies. We were good friends. Now, she was my senior by, about 25 years, but we were dear friends, and in an appropriate way, I loved her, and she loved me. I remember this. I remember that Mrs. Evans's health had taken a turn for the worse. I was preaching out in Washington, the state of Washington, on the West Coast, and Dr. Evans, her husband, the president of Hiles Anderson College, called me, and he said, Brother Owens, please pray. My wife, she's not well, and she's on a kind of a downhill slide here, and he said, when will you be back into town? I said, I'm coming back on Saturday, Dr. Evans. He said, good. He said, Mrs. Evans is failing, and so I flew back in, and we got up to go to church on Sunday morning, my wife and I, and right after church on that Sunday morning, we received a phone call, and it was Mrs. Carol Tudor, and she said to us, Brother and Mrs. Owens, Mrs. Evans has passed away. She's at home because she chose to pass away at home, and Mrs. Tudor said, Mrs. Evans and the family wanted us to give you a call. They do not want to move her from her room. They're going to leave her right there in her bed. They want you to come, and they're not going to move her to prepare her for burial until you get to come and say goodbye to her, and that she would have wanted it that way. And so we went from church. We went right to Mrs. Evans's house, and we went in. We got to say our goodbyes. As we walked away, Mrs. Owens had kissed Mrs. Evans's cheek a couple times, and you could see it, lip marks on Mrs. Evans's cheek as she said goodbye, and we slipped out of the house and we said goodbye to her. Mrs. Evans wanted to help ladies. Well, I hope something. I hope that Mrs. Marlene Evans, I hope she looked down last year from heaven and seen the East Coast Ladies Conference and said, I'm so glad that Brother Owens and the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church are helping ladies. I want that. She was kind of like a mama to me, but a friend, and I hope that she looked down and was pleased. She watches from heaven. You say, what in the world is so important about a ladies conference? I heard this quote, and I believe it. Nothing portrays the moral decay of a nation more than the spiritual condition of its women. You can pretty well tell what shape a church is in based on what shape the women are in. what shape a country is in based on what shape the ladies are in or the women are in. God knows we need revival in America. America is not showing her colors very well. And we need revival in America. You've heard the old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know, no church has revival unless the women are willing, submissive, and they're major contributors. You cannot have revival in a church if the women won't let it happen. By the way, I fear the women destroying revival more than I fear the men. I've been at it. I'm not an old man. My hair makes me look older than what I really am, just so you know. My hair may look 60, but I'm really only 27. But I've been out of it and preaching for 28 years, traveled all across this country from the smallest to the largest churches in the United States of America. Preachers will tell you, I fear the attitude, I fear the submissiveness, I fear the attack of women more than I do men. I don't understand that. But I think that God wants us to help ladies. Thank God for our ladies. Thank God for the submissiveness and the... We would not be having revival around here if it were not for the spirit of the ladies, the willingness of the ladies. I really believe that. Now let me tonight help our church host a first-class conference for our ladies. Now, you're not going to be impressed with what I'm about to do, but I'm going to just very gently make statement after statement with brief explanation on how we ought to care for this week's activities and the ladies' conference. Please listen, because everything we do ought to be done decently and in order. And as you sit there, it might be good that you listen to the attention that we're going to give a less than 24-hour period and decide it might be good for some of you to get it together in some of those areas of life that you live with day in and day out. If we can put this much energy into a 20-hour period, it'd seem like those of us that have lifelong relationships would want to get some of them in order. But listen, it's going to be as practical as it could be, number one. This conference, men, is going to be a blessing to you, too. You say, how? Well, you can get rid of your wife for a while. See? I'm thinking now. You know, you can sight in your bow. Yeah. By the way, where's Brother Butts? Brother Butts, where are you at? I see you back there. But I need help with my bow. When I pull that thing back and when I release, it makes a little bit too much noise. So I need somebody to help me solve that problem. My wife said it needed another silencer on it. Is that what you told me? That's what she said. She said, you need a silencer on that thing. And I've got one at the top, but not one at the bottom or something, but I need your help. Okay, back to the sermon. But the conference will be a blessing to our men. Did you know something, gentlemen? A godly wife is more valuable than gold and more fun. But I believe, number one, that the conference will be a blessing to our men. Number two, men, I do honestly need your help in watching your children. I joke about it. I tease about it. If you can watch the kids for your wife on Friday and Saturday, and I want to thank God, there's some men in here. As your wife's been busy and involved decorating and preparing, you have watched the children, and God bless you for doing so. But I promise you that if you'll serve your wife in this capacity, that you'll benefit from it. But please help watch the children. Number three, men, I need you to help Brother Doss. Brother Doss is manning, and that is the right word, our nurseries. We made it so that if any husband or wife is going to be working in the conference, that we would have a nursery available for those children. And we need you to get to Brother Doss, and you need to give him a number of children and the ages of those children. And some of you men, if you can help Brother Doss, if you know, maybe if you have military experience, or if you are a Navy SEAL or a recon, if you could help us, you see Brother Doss, okay? Or, you know, if you've ever ridden a horse or any dangerous animal, I'm sure you could help Brother Doss. So we need your help. Number four, men, Brother Bush needs help. On Saturday, we're preparing a meal. It will be a good meal, a hearty meal for the ladies. And let me tell you, and I mean this, you know, when my wife and I go on vacation, I buy all the meals for her. Now, not everybody can do that, and I'm not recommending everybody do that, but I buy all the meals I can. You want to know why? Because she cooks for me all year long. And it's really not much vacation if she's doing that on vacation. So I work very hard to provide the meals for her. Or sometimes I cook them myself. Peanut butter and jelly. Toast with cinnamon on it. But listen, I really would like it if the ladies would get a meal, it were put together well, and it were served by the men. I think that's right. I think that's good. So Brother Bush needs men. I think from 9 a.m., is that correct? 9 a.m. to about 1 o'clock on Saturday. If you can help out, we need your help. We're also doing this. We're going to be moving our picnic tables from out here. We're going to pull them up here near the building because the number of people we cannot accommodate without a little help in the seating. Some of you men could get with Brother Bush and help with the moving of the picnic tables. Number 5, men, I wish you'd pray. I wish you'd pray that the ladies have a good time. I wish you'd pray for their safety and that they would have revival. I wish, hey, any lady, by the way, that doesn't attend the meeting, and I know not everybody can come. Some of you will work. Some of you have prior commitments. I understand that. Not everybody can come to everything, but I wish you'd do this. Ladies, if you can't come, please pray for the meeting. Please pray for the speakers. Let's all just pray that this would be a success and that God would have His way. Number 6. This conference is indeed for our ladies. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to enjoy the music and the speakers and the decorations. But let me teach you a little something. Do you know that you will enjoy something far more as you have invested yourself in it? You'll enjoy by doing for others, by serving others and sacrificing for others and planning for others. May I teach you something? Do you know that working together builds tighter and more spiritual relationships than playing together? You will become better friends with people by serving together than by playing together. My friends of a lifetime are people that I've worked with and served the Lord with, not people that I used to play with. And so, listen to this. Every lady that has any part in this conference, every life changed, every marriage salvaged, every life influenced, you'll have a part in it. Whether it was you helped to decorate in the hallways or in this building or you were a hostess or whatever the case may be. Just let me teach you something. Don't get the idea that because you don't get to have all the fun that you're missing what it's all about, because it's really all about is helping others to have fun. I want you to realize you have a part in the changed lives. It's not my goal to use you to build this church. It's my goal to use this church to build you. When you work in a conference like this, you say, what are they trying to get out of me? I'm sorry, we're not trying to get anything out of you. We're trying to put something in you. Some of you have found in yourself a drive and a desire and a will you never knew you had. You're finding skills of helping to lead other ladies and creativity. I think all of that builds you. See, all of you who are working hard, you're learning more by serving others than those who are being served, I'll promise you. I learned a long time ago, do you know I learn more by teaching than by being taught? I promise you that. I promise you that. You learn more by teaching than being taught, and you yield more fruit by serving than being served. And so, ladies, what an honor. We get to be used by God. Indeed, it is for you. I want you to enjoy it. But let me tell you something. If you're not careful, you want to enjoy the ride instead of helping to pedal. But there's a greater blessing in pedaling and helping the people to enjoy the ride than there is by being carried by someone else. Number 7, please don't be too sensitive. Don't have your feelings hurt at this time. You say, well, Brother Owens, I feel like I've been overlooked. We didn't do that on purpose. God knows we're using lots of people. We're working very hard. There are some that would give the impression they're too busy and they don't have time. We might have tried to serve you by not asking you to do something. But it's not our intent to lead you out. If you've been having hurt feelings, you're hurting all by yourself because we weren't trying to do that to you. You let the devil get into that thing. We did not say, I don't want them to be used. Boy, don't you hear my preaching? I want everybody to be used by God. Everybody can do something. Or we could go to the opposite extreme. You're too busy. Now you be careful. Nobody appreciates you. You're doing all the work. This thing couldn't go on without you. You'd be shocked what could go on without you. It is an honor. So be careful if you feel like you're not used enough, that you're not so sensitive that your feelings are hurt. But if you feel like you're so busy that nobody appreciates you, yes, we do. And let me tell you something. You obviously want all your honor from man rather than God, because God notices everything you're doing. And He will honor you and He will reward you. Be careful not to be having a pity party. This is to be good. It should be wholesome and decent and fun. Number 8, be a servant. Just be a servant. Hey, let's not make any task too small. Let's not make it so we're above that, or we wouldn't soil our hands by serving in such a way. Hey, let's just do everything we do as if we're serving Jesus Christ. I think that's what it's all about. Let's serve others. Hey, we get a chance. You know, a lot of churches don't get the chance. I told you there were like 66 churches represented last year. How many churches in America get the privilege and honor of serving ladies from 66 different churches? What an honor. What a privilege. God must believe that we know how to serve others. And if I think God, if we take it and we have a good heart and a good spirit about it, maybe God will let us serve a few more. Isn't that what we're all supposed to do, is serve? Isn't that why we were left behind, to serve other people and be good to them? Be a servant. Number 9, be flexible. Be flexible. I like things well organized, everything in order, decently and in order. I like details. I like organization. But let me tell you something. Every once in a while, God just chooses to change the order of things on us. You know something? I like having our church services right here in this auditorium at a certain time and in a certain way. But a few weeks ago, we got a bunch of rain. As a result of that rain, we flooded our auditorium out. God chose that, not me. We had to be flexible, and you were. What a fantastic service we had over in the gymnasium. We were flexible. We need to be flexible in spirit and flexible. And listen, you're never going to do great things for God unless you can learn to be flexible. I will provide for you as much security as I can by letting you know what's coming next and how we're going to do it. That's what I'm trying to do this evening. But let me tell you something. Every once in a while, things need changed a little. You be flexible and have a good spirit and have a good attitude when you do it. Number 10, I need every lady in this church to become a greeter. You're a representative of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You're hostesses. Welcome everybody. Walk up to everybody you see and say, "Welcome to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We're glad that you're here." Every lady needs to do that. Every last one of you say, nobody sent me a memo telling me to be a greeter or a hostess. I'm telling you tonight, every lady. You say, "Well, Brother Owens, I've only been in the church for a week and a half." If you're here at the conference, you're now an official greeter for the conference. I want you to greet everybody and have a good attitude and welcome them and shake their hands and serve the people from out of town. Hey, ask them, "Is there anything that I can do for you?" And when a lady says, "Could you show me to the washroom?" Show her where it's at. Tell them about our church, but be friendly and be kind. And men. We'll have a group of men that will be here on the property. Now be careful, men. I'll tell you what would be easy to do. It would be very easy for you to get in that productive mode. Got to get it done. Get out of the road. Coming through. And while you're racing through everything, there are people that will think you're unkind or rude. If you work as a parking lot attendant, yes, we're helping to park cars. Yes, you will be dealing with ladies. But you smile and you be kind. And listen, men, as we're serving meals, you be friendly. And you be kind and greet them. And you're a part of this thing too. And so, every lady here, I need you to be a greeter. Number 11, help us as we prepare the property and grounds. We're trying to get them groomed and prepared. Brother Butch Burnham is doing such a fantastic job. Him and his wife just working themselves ragged around here. And any of you that have any part with this property and grounds, I want us to be a good representative of Jesus Christ. And so we're trying to get done by Friday, noon or so. We want to have everything ready for our guests on Friday night. We may have to mow early. There's a chance that we may get some rain this week. We got to get the pavement out there blown off and cleared off, and we want everything in its place. If you see a little trash laying around out there, don't assume somebody else is going to pick it up. Why don't we all just pitch in and take care of the property that God's given us? Hey, the country's coming to see us. I think we better get ready. Number 12, the washrooms here on our property. We want them decent and in order. Mrs. Lawrence will be heading up the washrooms during this conference, and she's got a crew of ladies, and I thank you, ladies. Thank you for not being so arrogant that you would not be willing to help with an important task. They'll be decorated. Men, I have to tell you, the ladies are taking over the property, and so all the men's washrooms will be, they'll be transformed, if you will, and made so the ladies will have access to them. Men, I mean, every washroom in this building, there's going to be, I don't know any other way to say this, we're going to put a porta john right out there by the end of the gym for the men. It will say men on it. Then, someplace else, we're going to put porta janes, and there'll be a few of those outside. But listen, the high school will be open, Brother Bush, so you know. The grade school will be open. The washrooms will be available. Let's make sure everything is in order, and there'll be a lot of ladies here. And see, to me, I want the washrooms nice. And I'm going to promise you something, ladies. As soon as I get the money, you get some of the first-class washrooms in the United States of America. You just got to give me time, and you help me compile the money. I want that for you. I want that for you desperately. We'll treat you like queens as long as God provides some money from some of the kings. And so you be patient. I promise you that's what we want. Then we have some ladies that are usherettes for the evening. Mrs. Ewan oversees them, and I tell you what, that's a handful. Mrs. Ewan's a fine lady, and she's helping with a very busy thing. Usherettes, be on time. Dress right. Be friendly. Smile a lot as your door greeters. Greet everyone. And listen, if you have a rough morning starting out, boy, wipe the sneer off your face before you start greeting the public, and let's be good to them. And let me tell you this, usherettes, during our time in our service, you're going to have to work quickly, and you're going to have to think. You'll have to work very, very quickly. And so, because we've got to keep the conference going. Number 14, let me say this. I wish, and I'm just positive that Mrs. Jones is not here. Mrs. Barbara Jones has done a fantastic job getting some things ready for us. And let me tell you, you pray for Mrs. Jones. She's not well. And she's been sick the last couple of days. But Brother Jones, I'm just totally impressed. That woman's been home sick, and I mean severely sick, and she went ahead and did all of her duties for the conference and brought the things in to us tonight. So please give her words from the preacher that I appreciate her, and I love you and Mrs. Jones very much. The music needs to be well practiced. I'm not for throwing anything together. If it's going to be done for God, it ought to be done right. Well practiced. You say, well, I'm a pretty good musician. Let me tell you something. Your talent doesn't impress me one iota. I want it practiced, and I'll set you on a shelf. I don't care how talented you are. You need to practice what you do for God. And so, I want it practiced. Watch your health. Those of you that are musicians, watch your health. Watch your voice. Don't try to wing it. Know your schedule. Hey, musician, ask God for the Spirit of God in your music. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. I'm not training entertainers around here. I want people to season the souls of God's children before the preaching and the teaching comes. Matter of fact, we're going to teach a theme song. Brother Nash, I want, is Mrs. Doss out there somewhere? Mrs. Doss, I want Brother Nash to come. He's going to take a moment, and he's going to help you learn our theme song. We're going to go through it a couple of times. The theme is walking in newness of life, and this is the theme song. We're going to teach it to you a little bit for a moment tonight. We're going to have song sheets in the pews on Wednesday night, but I want us to carry the Spirit, and I want you to sing. And so, Brother Nash, why don't you come and quickly teach us the theme song? Okay, I get the cheat. I have the words. You'll have the words Wednesday night. So, here we go. At least try to hum with me, and then the second time through, we'll try to mouth the words with me. All right? Well, I've been to the Savior. I trust His name. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, I've been to the Savior. I trust His name. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that once I was and redeemed. Now my name, I've been changed, I'm a newborn, my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay in my heart. Oh yes, I've been changed.
we'll sing the first verse one more time. Ready?
Well, I've been to the Savior, I trust His name. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that once I was, and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed, I'm a newborn. My life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay in my heart. Oh yes, I've been changed.
Thank you very much. Think about it, ladies, because when we sing, I want you to sing. Number next. We've got to keep other things going here at the church. For instance, men's prayer meeting will be at 8 o'clock next Saturday morning over in the gymnasium. At 9 o'clock, the bus meeting. And Brother Bajan, I'm going to ask you to hold your bus meeting in your classroom in the grade school. So the bus meeting, everybody listen. Don't be lost. Think about it. Young people, anybody that's a part of that thing, at 9 o'clock in Brother Bajan's classroom next Saturday morning. Of course, the ladies won't be there. They'll be a part of the conference. But we need to go right on with things. Thursday, we need to be here soul winning. Now, let me explain something to you. There might be ladies that will be doing some work around here on Thursday, but there are also ladies that go soul winning at another time. We won't cancel soul winning for decorating. I don't do things like that. But they'll be witnessing and telling people about Christ at other times. Now, Sunday, listen to this, ladies, very carefully. I'd rather you not come to the ladies' conference if you're not going to show up to church on Sunday. The Friday-Saturday ladies' conference does not take the place of you being in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. So we're going to have church Sunday morning. Now, there's one thing we're doing. We have soul winning on a number of occasions during the week. We have a small meeting on Saturdays at 10 o'clock. It's a soul winning meeting, and we're not going to have that meeting at all on Saturday. That doesn't have to stop you from going soul winning, but we need to keep things going. Number 17. School teachers and Sunday school teachers, you be patient about the use of your rooms. Now, let me explain. First of all, it's not your room. It's not yours. That is God's room. This is God's church. And you say, well, they messed up my room. It's not your room. It's God's. But here's what will happen. Things may get in disarray. Something may be misplaced. Now, that's not our goal. Anybody that is borrowing a room that is used by someone else, let's put everything back in order. I believe you're not done until everything's cleaned up, put back in its place. And don't assume that somebody else is going to take care of it. You take care of it. But we're going to try to put things back. But let's have a good attitude about it. If you come in and your chair is missing or a sign on the wall is missing, don't have a bad attitude. Don't be negative about it. Things like that are going to happen. It's just bound to happen. And so if it happens, why don't you just say, praise God. It's a little inconvenient, but I'm going to have a good attitude about it. Number 18, you pray about our carpeting. They're going to be working tomorrow to start carpeting. Now, it's a holiday, and that means they're going out of their road. We've got the carpeting in, and they're going to be putting carpeting everywhere, and you pray about the replacement of our carpeting. But I'll tell you this. Friday night, I'll just tell the ladies, there's not going to be carpeting in here. I'll just get up and tell them. We had an uh-oh, and we got some rain in here. But I'll tell you, carpeting will not influence the spirit of our conference. I just won't let that happen. Number 19, don't make anyone babysit you about your responsibilities. Listen, you get your part in order and just take care of it. Now, if you have questions, sure, we want to answer them, but don't expect everybody to remind you of everything. You get your part decently and in order. Number 20, help us clean up. We've got to be ready for church on Sunday. We've got to make sure that everything's back in order so we can have church on Sunday, and it's very important. So when the conference is over, if you can hang around and help put things away, we need your help. Men that can be around, ladies that can be around, boy, at the end of the conference, and we won't start tearing down while our guests are still around. We'll wait about 30 minutes. I think that's a little inappropriate. We'll give them a little time to mingle, and then when we hit it, let's just all tear into it. We'll get everything cleaned up and put back where it belongs so we can have church on Sunday morning. Number 21, you'll have a chance of purchasing some fine Christian material during the week. Mrs. Hiles will have books and CDs. The Nash's things will be out. Mrs. Walker will have some things out. She'll be bringing things from Christian Christian Womanhood. I know that Owens Publications will have things out. Mrs. Owens has a little lesson album out called Lessons for Ladies. It's brand new. You'll have a chance to get those. But get yourself some good things, because I tell you, the average Christian bookstore is not Christian. It's full of trash. And you better get the good things while you have a chance to get something that is sound in doctrine, and the music will be decent and recommendable. Then, let me ask you to do me a favor. It is our honor and privilege to have Mrs. Beverly Hiles with us. As you know, her husband went to be with the Lord some years ago, and I'm asking on her behalf. I don't want you to ask her to sign Bibles. I don't want you to ask her to have your picture taken with her. To be honest, she is in her senior years. She is really doing us a great favor. Someone said the other day, said, you're having Mrs. Hiles. She really doesn't travel all that much anymore. You are very honored to have her, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, I don't want to abuse that. I don't want to wear her out, and I don't want us to be inappropriate, and I just know this is the right thing to do, so you just trust me on it. And now, Mrs. Owens was talking with Mrs. Hiles, said, Mrs. Hiles, would you come back to our church for our ladies' conference in 2005? She said, I would be glad to. She said, how did she put it, honey, as long as the mule doesn't kick me? As long as I don't get kicked by a mule, I'll be at your church for your ladies' conference. And we're kind of feeling like she'll stick with us until she just decides she can't travel anymore. So I'm hoping for many years to come until she can't travel anymore. What an honor. You know, if we could have someone like Ma Sunday, the wife of Billy Sunday, or the wife of a Charles Spurgeon or a D.L. Moody, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have a lady like that? Mrs. John R. Rice, we have a chance to have Mrs. Hiles with us, and we want to take care of her properly. Then, if you can help financially, I would appreciate it. But let me tell you this. We're going to pay for it. Our church is not going to go under. I'm not going to create a bill. But you say, well, as I could give toward it. You can designate it on a tithing envelope or give me a check or one of my secretaries to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, but we could use your help. Ben, we're still raising things. In number 24, we're still raising little items with butterflies and flowers printed on them. And I want to thank you for all your donations. But I thought we'd have to stop taking those up today, but I think we could take them through early Monday or Tuesday morning, so if you can help. Number 25, realize that not everybody will hear or see everything. Realize that not everybody that comes to the conference, and I'm talking about our people, will hear and see everything. You may miss something while you're serving people. You know something, folks? I of course, was at Hiles Anderson College for 4 years while I was going to college. They had nationwide pastor schools. 7,000 preachers and full-time Christian servants from all around the world would go to a pastor school. I was always serving behind the scenes. One night, I had been hired as one of the pastors of the church there. It was a Monday night. I was the first person to walk out onto the platform that night. As I was standing there, and there was a group of some of the most godly, hardworking men on the face of the earth behind me, I would lead the pastoral staff out, go out and sit down for the opening of that great international conference. I was standing there, and it occurred to me, this is the very first session of pastor school I ever sat in all these years. I'm walking out as an assistant pastor. Said, how'd that happen, Brother Owens? I was so busy behind the scenes, serving, filling water bottles, painting, cleaning up, that my first time was on that platform that night. I remember that following July, they have a nationwide youth conference there, and some of our young people have been there the last few years, and I mean thousands and thousands and thousands of young people from virtually every state in the union go there. And I walked out my very first youth conference on a Wednesday night. I realized I had never sat in a youth conference session before. My first time I was walking out as one of the preachers that would preach in that conference. Why? Because I've always been behind the scenes working. Always been behind the scenes working, and I have no regret about that. You might find that you get busy and you might not get to see all and do all, but don't let that stop you. Number 26, we're going to have some skits. And let me say to Brother Nash, Brother Phillips, and Brother Williamson, I want you just to be yourselves. Be funny, be stupid, be ridiculous. But I even want the skits. I want them organized on purpose. I want the costumes. And thank God for Beth McDonald and the folks that have worked on the costumes first class. Hey, I'll tell you something. I think you actually ought to pray about the skits, too. You know people need to laugh. people really need to laugh and to have a good time. Parking lot attendants, and thank you, Brother Dula, for helping with the parking lot attendants. They need to be friendly and prepared for rain and help the ladies to park. Number 28, learn and remember. Learn and remember. Hey, let's watch everything that goes on so we can reproduce it next year and we can make it even better the year after that. Number 29, the decorations. I don't have to ask if they be first class because they are already far beyond first class. Thank you to Melissa Logue and all the ladies that are helping to decorate, but she has carried the organizational load for most of the decorations. But ladies, you need to show up. If you said you're going to help decorate, you need to show up. Why? Everything ought to be done decently and in order. That's how it ought to be done. The following ladies agreed to help out with the decorating and on the church property Thursday, starting at 8 a.m. I have Linda Mill Irons, Carmen Davis, Johanna Davis, Natasha Hall, Angela York, Betty Berman, Janice Lowther, Rhonda Daymude, Carmen Morales, Brenda Kidwell, Audrey Gillum, Holly Stanley, Megan Thorne, Denise Phillips, Amy Pridemore, Rachel Maynor, Sue Fisher, Angie Chrisman, Kathy Conaway, Missy Chris, Roy Masaccio, Bev McDonald, Chanda Everhart, Emily McLean, Linda Tennis, Kathy Pop, Carol Hartman, Vanessa Shiflett. Now, if something's come up and you can't be there all the time, be there everything that you can, let Mrs. Logue know. But listen, if it's left for five or six people, we'll not get the job done first class. We need everybody in their place. Everybody in their place. And again, let me thank Mrs. Logue, what hard work she's been doing. Number 30. Mrs. Nash may ask for some help. We're going to be moving. We're having a girls' conference for the grade school age girls, third through sixth grade, upstairs in the Persian room. Mrs. Nash and a group of ladies have organized and planned and prepared. Now, and she's done an excellent job of it. Now, she may need your help. She may ask some of you ladies, if you'd miss the sessions in here and serve up there, I wish that you would pitch in and help out. And I'm almost done, but stay with me. I have just a couple of points left. Number 31, we have a little problem. It's a good problem. Let me explain it to you. Our first conference, we just thought we'd invite a few churches to come. Oh, were we ever shocked when 750 ladies from 66 different churches came. Well, I said to myself, self, probably next year you could have 1,000. So get ready for 1,000 people. And so, God has began to do something that's just a touch out of our control. Right now, we have pre-registered 750 already. The average number of pre-registration is usually 50% of your attendance, which means that we could bump up as high as 1,500 ladies. Now, to me, that is total chaos in itself. It will smell good. But because of that, when you plan for 1,000 and the possibility of 1,500 turning out, we're scampering really quickly to get some things done, to say the least. We had no idea. None whatsoever. We still have all this week for pre-registrations to come in. So would you please pray that nobody else comes to our conference? Look, if you don't have your ticket for the conference, you're a part of our church, you need to go to somebody else's conference next week, not ours. And I know we're all laughing, but I'm really in a jam. Don't leave me now. This is what some of the things that we need to do. For instance, we've asked what members of the choir who can to set in the choir loft. We're changing our decorations a little bit. We can't afford not to use the 40 or 50 seats that we have available up here. No way. So now, listen to this carefully. If you're a member of our church, you will dress modestly and you will behave yourself, and you're a lady and the choir seats are open, you may set up here. I don't want any children. I don't want any teenagers up here. But if you will represent us well, we're going to need some to set up here. And don't be shy. I've got to fill all the chairs up here. Because we're going to need every seat here. Then, I have no choice. I do not have time to tear walls down, to extend my auditorium. the staff men really don't want me to do that anyway, I'm sure. You know, it's easy to be the pastor and say we're going to do this, and then the staff men do all the work while I supervise. But we're not going to tear any walls down. Though you need to understand, this building last year we had 750 ladies in here. Do any of you remember it? Elbow room only. And so we're asking everyone to cut off their arms. That way we don't need elbow room. All right. Now, so we have no choice but what we're going to do. And we took almost 2 hours on Saturday, the staff men and I, and we figured out strategically how to get every chair we can get, upper level, lower level, moving pews around, twisting and moving. And we figured we're going to get most of our crowd in here. We're going to let it flow back into the foyer area out here. But we feel for the last portion of the overflow, we're going to put a camera in and we're going to channel it over into the gymnasium and get some large screen TVs so people can watch. For some of you, it'll be more comfortable watching TV than coming to church anyway. And so this is going to be good for you. We might even get you some remotes without batteries in it or something so you can, you know, act like your husband does. Now, if you're willing, when there's overflow, to go over there and set, I would be glad for you to do so, but I only want ladies to sit over there that will have a good attitude about it. I don't need people sitting over there griping and complaining and ruining the conference for everyone. Now, you understand, I do not know why all these people are coming. I didn't do it. So all I'm trying to do is figure out where we're going to put them all. Okay? And so we're doing the best we can. For instance, I've got to buy hundreds of chairs, because we don't have any place for them to set, and there's not enough time to call them all and ask them to bring their lawn chair. Brother Tom Tennis has been on the phone, I mean virtually nonstop, for the last 24 hours trying to find the chairs that match the ones, and we found some in Mississippi, of all places. We found some in Virginia and in Maryland, and we're looking. And we're scampering, but Brother Tennis is going to need help because we've got hundreds of chairs. We may have to get some men to volunteer and just go to Brother Tennis and say, where do you need me to go? I'm going to rent some U-Haul trucks and go down and pick up however many chairs I have to wherever we must. And we're going to need the chairs anyway. And so, but it's coming. Now, number 32, be good to one another. Be good to one another. Hey, listen, we're still Christians. Ladies, gentlemen, say please. As we're serving each other, say please. Say thank you. Compliment one another. You know, it doesn't hurt when somebody did a good job for you. Give them a pat on the back and say thank you. Tell them that was done well. Compliment them for their effort. Compliment them for their sacrifice and their hard work. Compliment them for their good spirit. You know something? If you'll compliment people for having a good spirit, that might continue. And let's do this also. I call it, let's give everybody a free pass. You say, what do you mean? Oh, when there are a lot of things going on and we're busy and productive, sometimes things get tense for a moment. You know something, if somebody has a rough moment, let's not ruin the whole conference and ruin our spirit toward them for the rest of the day. How about you just give them a free pass and say, you know, she's really busy. She got a lot on her mind. I don't think that I'm going to make it worse. I think I'll just give her a free pass right now. It'd be a good way of handling things. Number 33, be considerate of our staff. We're very busy. We are very busy. Brother Bush is very, very busy. And you be considerate of that, and please understand. Mrs. Costa, she's as busy as a pastoral secretary could be. Productive, and just please, be considerate of that. There are some things you could do for yourself that if you're not careful, you'll ask someone else to do for you, and then you just bog down the people that could get a lot done. We're not trying not to serve you, but just be considerate. Be considerate of all of our staff men, of Mrs. Owens. Mrs. Owens is the hostess, and she's the brain. She picked the theme. She's in her mind, told them what she wants for decorations and put the schedule together. It's a very big job because, to be very honest with you, Mrs. Owens does not like to be up in front of people. I've asked her to do this, and that's the only reason she is. She's not comfortable being up in front of people, but she does a fabulous job of it. It's not what she wants to do in life. She's willing to do it for the sake of the Lord, our church, and the ladies. But please pray for her. It's a big job, taking on such a massive thing. You don't understand. You ladies, you know how it is. You know how ladies watch ladies? You know, my wife will have a company out. She'll say, we got to get everything spotless. Man, there'll be women going through my drawers and looking in the cupboards and checking under the pillows. Man, they investigate each other. Us men, we don't care. Just give us some food. Get out of the road. But let me tell you that the scrutiny that the leader that will stand before all these ladies will be under. Boy, let's back her and help her and pray for her and encourage her. Again, if you're a visitor this evening, we just believe that God teaches everything we do ought to be done decently and in order. Everything is to be arranged. There's not to be confusion. And to be honest, I really felt like it was necessary for me to take this time tonight, make sure the entire church family, we all pull together, and that we just make things wonderful for this next Friday and Saturday. Because no church has revival unless ladies have chosen to allow it to happen. And I want the revival here to continue, and I thank God for our ladies. We will do everything we can to make your conference a success. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, I have not spent my time presenting the gospel, but let me tell you about something. Let me tell you that all of this effort, all of it, is because there are a whole bunch of ladies who are born again who want to learn how to serve God and have a happy life. If you're not born again, your life will have, some happiness here and there, but we're talking about an everlasting. We're talking about a thing, really, it's called joy. If you get saved, you get the Savior living inside you, you could become a part of all of it. If you're here this evening and you're not born again, we invite you to the Savior. If you're here and you've been saved, you've never made it public or follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we invite you to it. There might be some of you just need to come and maybe pray about your part in the upcoming conference. And I say again, no, not everybody would have done what I've done here tonight, but I'm not like just everybody. I really feel like there are times when we all just need to look at what's going on, study it, learn to be professional, to do things right, because God wants everything done decently and in order. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.